You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Welcome to a special report of HRN Happy Hour, broadcasting live from Roberta's Pizza. This is Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Kat Johnson, and I'm here with my co-host, Katie Musman-Wadler.
Hi, everybody.
And Patrick, as always, is in studio with us.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
And we're so excited. This is a special report because we have an extra special visitor today in the shipping containers with us. Secretary of Agriculture and Forestry from the state of Virginia, Dr. Basil Gooden, is here.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for having me here. I'm delighted.
Thank you for coming to Brooklyn and visiting us.
Oh, no, I'm happy. Happy to be here.
So we've been talking a little bit about all of the amazing foods and commodities and beverages that are that come from the state of Virginia, and people maybe don't know all the amazing products that your state has. Can you tell us a little bit about? Yeah,
sure, absolutely. Virginia has one of the most diverse agricultural economies in the nation. Actually, first and foremost, agriculture is Virginia's largest private industry, certainly making an impact of about $52 to $55 billion annually. So it's a large, large industry. But certainly we have a lot of diversity. We have Virginia pork. So we have Virginia ham that's coming out of there. Virginia peanuts. Most people know a lot about that. But certainly we have a lot of new some commodities and things that we are sending around the world. Certainly Virginia wines. We have 295 wineries. We have 195 craft breweries in the Commonwealth of Virginia. We have about 47 distilleries, and we have about 20 cideries in the Commonwealth of Virginia. So certainly some new industries that are coming online and growing like gangbusters, but certainly we have a lot of the poultry in the Commonwealth of Virginia. Soybeans, one of our largest exports. That is our largest export, soybeans. We have cotton, we have tobacco, you know, so we have all the things that you see that's grown down through the South. So we have a lot of diversity in our industry.
And some of these newer industries like the craft beverage and things like that are really helping boost your agritourism industry. Can you talk a little bit more about this recent study that says it's providing 22,000 jobs and $2.2 billion in economic activity?
Absolutely. One thing that we know, certainly in agriculture, is that you're going to have to diversify, and you're going to have to look at ways to certainly compensate your income or to complement your income, actually. And so one thing that's really big in the Commonwealth of Virginia is agritourism. And certainly the report that came out, as you indicated, Kat, is that it makes a $2.2 billion impact annually on the economy. That's with, again, a lot of the wineries that will have events there in various areas that are close to metropolitan cities. But also, we have a lot of smaller farms that are, you know, located out in some of these rural areas that will do things, you know, as simple as like corn mazes. But also, people want to find a way to come back and to enjoy nature. They whether it's for just recreational purposes, and also really just being able to enjoy good food and to connect with, you know, where their food comes from. I mean, I think that's vitally important. I mean, as we look forward to agriculture, I think people want to get closer to their food. And so that's something that we're really encouraging and supporting and incentivizing there in the Commonwealth of Virginia.
So I want to talk about your background, because you're not just a politician.
Oh, no, I'm not a politician.
You really do have a strong background in both agriculture and forestry. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Thanks. I appreciate that. Yes. I was born and raised on a farm. and a place called Buckingham County, Virginia. And Buckingham County actually is supposed to be the geographical center of the Commonwealth of Virginia. It's about 60 miles southwest of Richmond, Virginia. So my family actually, at one time, we grew pigs, cattle, raised corn, hay, things of that nature, things that you would typically see on a farm. My parents actually were educators. My father was a school principal, and my mother was a home economics teacher. And she loved to cook. I guess it's called family consumer sciences now. That's what home economics used to be. But really grew up in that type of environment where you learned a lot about plants. You learned a lot about how to feed not only your family but communities as well, because we would share whether we're growing greens or you know, squash, cucumbers, whatever came out of the garden, you shared it with the community. And so, and then also my grandparents had a country store, so we would sell a lot of those crops and that produce in this country store. And that country store was such a catalyst for the community, where people came together, black, white, anybody in the community that needed something, they would meet at that country store. So you learned how important food is to communities and bringing people together. One thing that's I really focus on as a Secretary of Agriculture and Forestry in Virginia is certainly the nexus between food and public health, how food can be used to improve the health and well-being of communities and things of that nature. So certainly looking at food policy, looking at how, again, we can address some of the chronic illnesses in a lot of our communities by what we eat. And so I grew up on a farm, love farming. We continue to have farms now. And so right now we grow beef cattle, Black Angus beef cattle in Buckingham, Virginia. So really enjoy what I do. And I love this position as Secretary of Agriculture and Forestry, because I get to go around the world promoting agriculture and good food and supporting people getting closer to their food and better health. And so I did undergraduate school at Virginia Tech, so went up there. That's our land-grant university there in Virginia. Then I went to actually Syracuse University for graduate school, and then came back down to the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, where I focused on public health. And that's my training, public health and community development. So there's a natural tie-in, I feel, between, you know, food and the health and well-being and the economic well-being of communities as well.
Home ec, I love that. Awesome. The world needs more home ec. Also needs more community stores. Just the art of standing in line and not ordering via Amazon, and the conversations that take place at a community center like that is important.
Sure, absolutely. I agree 100%.
And Secretary Gooden, you mentioned a lot about public health and food security. What, in your view, are the biggest threats to food security and dietary health in rural Virginia particularly? And what does your office do to address some of those threats?
Sure. And, we are really looking at the local food systems, local food hubs. That's what we are really trying to incentivize. I used to work previously at USDA, and I was a state director for one agency, is rural development, mm-hmm. and we really focused on making sure that we had a sustainable food system. That's where a lot of our funds went to. So when we look at the food chain, again, you know, most of our food, again, is processed by large facilities and markets and things of that nature. And what we're really trying to do is diversify. We're really trying to focus on some of the smaller areas, focus on, you know, again, the small farmers. We're trying to be innovative around food, but again, making sure that we have traceability with food, you know, and being able to track back. Certainly, I think we have one of the most secure, I guess, as far as processing and food safety. We certainly, with our Virginia Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services, we have inspectors that actually go out and work with a lot of the local farmers, a tremendous organization. But really, we are looking at, again, that whole food chain from beginning to end, being able to track, you know, where your food comes from, Those are things that are in the works. Mm-hmm. But recognizing that that not only makes good sense for the health and safety of the public, but also it makes sense. I mean, it's in other countries, it's a marketing tool. Well, where, you know, a lot of people are looking for specific farmers, and they, you know, and actually they have apps. We were in Tokyo in the fall, and apparently in Tokyo, a lot of the food that's consumed is actually either ordered by their cell phone, even if they're in a restaurant or in a grocery store, they can really specify where they want their food to come from, local farm. And so I just found that fascinating. So, again, trying to make sure that people here in the United States and specifically the Commonwealth of Virginia will be able to make sure that that food chain is short and make sure it's diversified and make sure it's safe and sustainable. Mm-hmm. And so that's, again, we're really focused on that like a laser, certainly through our Department of Agriculture and Consumer Sciences.
Mm-hmm. And I imagine you must do a lot of work also to help farmers achieve economic success. So I have a question about that, and you can let me know if it's related. I did my graduate research on small farmers in New York State and whether or not they were able to accept SNAP for their fresh local produce. But one thing that really surprised me when I was talking to the farmers is I found that many of the farmers in New York are struggling with food security themselves and often are recipients of SNAP benefits. So I was curious if that was also something that your office might deal with in Virginia, and how important would it be, in your opinion, to preserve SNAP or other types of nutritional support for people in rural Virginia, farmers or other people in agricultural communities?
Great question. I mean, I think it's absolutely imperative that we maintain support for SNAP and making sure that a lot of the food insecure areas have access or availability to fresh produce, fresh food. So it's tremendously important that we focus on, and I'm working with the Secretary of Health and Human Resources in the Commonwealth of Virginia, Bill Hazel, whose SNAP actually falls under his purview. Mm-hmm. in our state. And so really making sure that he understands, and he is fully supportive as well, that SNAP is vitally important to a lot of communities, a lot of individuals in the Commonwealth of Virginia. And certainly I know as we approach the farm bill that's actually been, you know, have been discussed for several months now, that it's vitally important that we understand that not everyone has the economic resources to attain the healthy food that they need. And I mean, that's a whole nother discussion. We could talk about why, you know, the cost of food. And you know, as you know, when we look around the world and look at food policy, that people, the lower you go on the economic income, the more they pay percentage-wise of their disposable income on food. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not fair. I don't think that, you know, again, you know, we need to really look at these type of issues. But I think it's vitally important that we, you know, support SNAP and make sure that it's in place so people can, you know, be as healthy as other communities as well. And I'm sorry, to get back to your other question about food security as well, we're doing some really interesting things with a lot of the communities in Virginia, Richmond, Virginia. We're looking at a what's called a local, it's a justice food hub, where we're working with individuals that are returning from incarceration to actually help them learn more agriculture and growing their own food and growing food for communities, but addressing you know, a lot of the food deserts that we do have in the Commonwealth of Virginia. And so we're working with a lot of the faith-based institutions, returning incarcerated individuals, but also working with some of the local high schools as well. What we're really trying to do is really show the world that agriculture is diversified. I mean, really, we're also trying to get more minorities in agriculture, get more women in agriculture in Virginia, but not only Virginia. I mean, again, across the nation. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's really interesting, as we said here today, there's only one African-American Secretary of Agriculture at the state level in the country. And that's in the Commonwealth of Virginia. The Commonwealth of Virginia.
We're with them right now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and so that's, to me, it's amazing because African Americans have been in agriculture since the inception of this country, whether they wanted to be involved or not. And I just think that we need to have more women involved in leadership roles in agriculture. I think we need to have more people of color involved in agricultural roles. And so that's something, and it's really interesting, too, I tell you, Kat, when I do have these conversations, oh, and you can cut me off because I get on a roll when I'm trying to get about opportunities, but I'm looking for opportunities not just to have diversity in the workforce, but I'm looking at opportunities to get diversity in the ownership roles in agriculture and, you know, food policy roles, and so people who can really set the agenda. I think we need more diversity at that level.
Well, one question, because your parents are educators. You know, you've been in school a lot yourself. You have a doctorate. And I think that a lot of the things we've been talking about have kind of touched on education, like with this justice program you're talking about.
Yes.
And you were very involved in 4-H and growing up. And I was in FFA in high school.
Right.
I sort of grew up on a farm in a farming community. And I think this speaks to your point about wanting to get people in those higher up roles is starting in the education very early. And I think that that's missing in a lot of places. And I'm wondering what you think about that. And if you're planning to work with like the Department of Education or anything like that to implement more of those programs.
Sure. No, absolutely. And thanks for being in FFA. I mean, that is certainly a great organization. Something that I feel that is also imperative to our office is to train the next several generations of leaders to come in and really talk about how important agriculture is to the world. And so we certainly work with FFA. We work with 4-H. We work with the local school systems. We have a program that we're implementing. It's called Secretary for a Day, where we work with some of the younger kids either in 4-H, FFA, and we have also some other agriculture leadership programs in the Commonwealth of Virginia where you actually come to Richmond and you're dubbed the Secretary of Agriculture for a day. So you figure out what we do, you see what we do, and the various industries and associations that we deal with. So really try to get them acclimated to agriculture and being able to speak out about agriculture because, as you know, the average age of farmers in the country, I mean, again, it continues to rise. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the Commonwealth of Virginia, it's like 59 and a half, almost 60 years old. And so certainly as these farmers, and they're great, great farmers, but, you know, again, as they are getting older, we have to make sure that we have people coming in behind them to say, hey, we're going to continue to market, promote, and protect agriculture. And so I think that's certainly our job in the Secretariat of Agriculture and Forestry for the Commonwealth. We have to continue to groom leaders for the future.
Now, what is the demographic of farmers in Virginia? I mean, is there statistics to that?
Right. We're losing a lot of black farmers, actually. It's a tragic continuation of loss of land. For various reasons, whether they're aging out or, again, just no one in the family wanting to be a part. But black farmers make up about between 10 to 15% of the farms in Virginia. Women own farms about 17% in Virginia. But when we talk about some of the newer, sectors, We're looking at, say, like the wine industry. Right now, again, we have about 296 wineries in Virginia, but we have no minorities, no minority wine owner, wineries. And I think, you know, that's an industry we can look at as well. The same thing with cideries or, you know, even, I mean, a lot of the craft beverage industry, which, again, is growing exponentially, not only in Virginia, but across the country, Oregon, Washington. So really trying to get diversity in these burgeoning sectors as well. And also trying to get diversity looking at off the farm. I mean, a lot of agriculture is actually in logistics. You know, only about 30% of agriculture actually is on the farm. So really trying to look at that other 70%, whether it's processing, whether it's, you know, again, logistics, distribution, marketing. I mean, so I get excited about agriculture, and that's something that I really try to go, you know, into the school systems to talk about, you know, hey, you know, you don't have to just be a, you know, a farmer. You know, I like farmers. I mean, I'm a, you know, farmer myself. But, you know, there are other opportunities in agriculture for you to actually make a living. And so, you know, so I try to share that. We really try to make agriculture a little more appealing, a little more sexy than, you know, just, you know, a horse and buggy type thing. So
now, is there a label? Part of the reason we met is through my friend Sam Edwards, who is the third generation of a famous ham curing family, S. Wallace Edwards and Sons.
Yes.
And he taught me about this Virginia's Finest.
Oh, yes.
Label. I mean, is that a label that people outside of Virginia also could be looking for? And how do people find quality and sustainability?
Absolutely. Sam Edwards, I mean, a tremendous organization there in the Commonwealth of Virginia. The best hams, I think, in the world. We also have Smithfield hams there as well. So, I mean, again, I don't know if I can play favorites, but but we do have a tremendous pork industry there. The Virginia Finest label actually is designed to promote Virginia commodities, Virginia produce. And so the criteria there is that it's something that actually is either grown or related or value added there in the Commonwealth of Virginia. But it's a great actually, we have a reception later on this evening, and we're going to actually highlight a lot of the Virginia Finest commodities and produce. So really the tag is designed to promote things that are actually processed or grown there in the Commonwealth of Virginia. But it's around the world. We do send it around the world. Mm-hmm. And thanks for asking.
Let's talk about your event tonight. It's oysters, correct?
We do. We have, yeah, Virginia has 8 varieties of oysters. and actually, the governor, I think, last fall, actually named the last variety of oysters. I guess you can do that when you're governor. You can, you know, dub.
You can name oysters.
Absolutely.
You can name it after yourself if you want.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually there is a craft brewery that actually is named after the governor, because the governor likes stout.
So
it's called,
nice.
yeah, give me stout or give me deaf or something like that. But it's a great craft craft brewery. But tonight we're going to actually have oysters. Virginia actually produces the most oysters on the East Coast. And oysters, I mean, it's a $16 million industry. I mean, it's actually larger than that, but last year it was $16 million. And tremendous varieties. And so we're going to meet with Rappahannock oysters tonight. We're going to actually have a reception and a couple of other events. Then we're going to have also some Virginia wines. And so, you know, we have oysters in Virginia. We have Virginia wines, Barbersville wines. And so the governor likes to say that, you know, you have the oysters in Virginia, you have the wines, you eat the oysters, drink the wine. Mm-hmm.
Sounds like my kind of party.
Virginia's for lovers. That's what he likes to say.
That's so true.
That's Governor Terry McAuliffe's line there. So certainly, but yeah, the oyster industry, again, we're shipping in oysters across the world. And so, again, we're delighted that Rappahannock Oyster will be joining us this evening.
Now, this is a network that talks a lot about food, but I know that part of your purview is the wildlife, the forestry side. Can you tell us a couple of quick talking points on what we should be thinking about when it comes to preserving wildlife and the forestry side of the land?
Sure, absolutely. Thanks, Patrick. Yes, so my title is Secretary of Agriculture and Forestry, and so the forestry part is actually the third largest industry in the Commonwealth of Virginia. It's about $17 billion, you know, close to $20 billion annually. We are big believers in, again, preserving, protecting, but also utilizing our forest areas in the best interests of the Commonwealth. And so, again, we recognize that we certainly have to use our forests to move economic development along, processing paper. We sell a lot of timber across the world as well. We were in Mexico last week, actually, promoting a lot of our timber and timber products. Certainly a lot of furniture. But again, you need timber, building houses. Anytime that there's development, you need, certainly lumber and timber. So I feel that Virginia has some of the highest quality timber and lumber in the country. So we look for opportunities to sell that as well. But also recognizing that trees provide so much to us as humans. I mean, they clean our air, keep our water streams clean as well. So we have an obligation also to protect our forest lands and try to preserve, when possible. And so it's really interesting. When I grew up on a farm, actually, Patrick, that I was always fascinated that, animals, you could see like, goats and cows and things of that nature, that they have the fight or flight instinct. So if they got, afraid, they could get up and run away. But it always intrigued me that plants, when you planted a corn or if you planted a tree, they couldn't get up and run away. And so it just always interests me that when, things can't move, can't run away, then it's incumbent upon us to protect them if they're providing a service to us. And so I take that philosophy with me on my job that, again, it's our job to protect forest land and protect trees that give so much to us. So that was just a lesson that, I've taken away from the farm.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, this has been very, very interesting. Awesome. We don't usually get a high caliber government officials like you. We get a lot of chefs.
Oh, no. Somebody misinformed you. I don't know about high caliber or just somebody who loves my job, love agriculture, and love what you all do. Thank you so much for what you do.
I really
appreciate you all educating people and getting messages out about agriculture and food. And so really do appreciate what you all do.
We hope you come back.
One last tidbit of a question.
Sure.
A lighthearted and personal question for you.
Uh-oh.
I was reading your bio.
Oh.
I saw that, we know your first name is Basil.
That's
your
a food.
Your daughter's first name is Caper.
Caper.
Oh. Is that a food thing?
Oh, wow. That is so interesting. that's a great question. I've never been asked that before. I don't know whether my mother knew that, I needed to be in agriculture, so she named me Basil. But, as a home economics teacher, she really loved cooking it. And her favorite herb was actually basil. So it's no real, big story behind it. But that was about it. And so my wife and I really decided that we sort of wanted to keep that theme going. So if she had been a boy, we were going to name her Sage, and a girl, Caper. And so my wife, Susan, wanted to keep that going. And so
nice.
That's I love that theme. Name.
We love it. Really applaud that. Coming from a food radio station, we have to ask, and that is the answer I was truly hoping for.
Oh, there you go. Well, thank you for the question. Great.
Thank you so much again for being with us today.
Sure.
We have to wrap everything up, but we could just probably talk for hours and hours.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah. Sure.
This has been a special report of HR and Happy Hour. I'm Kat Johnson here with Katie Mosman-Wadler, Patrick Martins, and our special guest today, Secretary of Agriculture and Forestry from the Commonwealth of Virginia. I'm going to start saying it that way now.
Great.
Dr. Basil Gooden, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me. Thank you so much. Enjoyed it.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. and we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.